Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
The
next one is in St. Louis. Apparently, people do this all summer long. I'm not. Trust me, but it just looks like such a thing. And they finish here. The route in the afternoon finishes. You don't have to be naked. You can just be a bike rider. You can go any way you want. Mm-hmm. But they do end up in the French Quarter, and they encourage you that if you're going to ride in the French Quarter, you should be aware that most of the people around you will be completely naked. It's about celebrating that everybody's body deserves to ride a bike.
Sure,
That bike riders all need to be respected is the other piece of that.
So, well, and the combination of the nudity and bike riding part seems more challenging than it likely should be.
Yes,
so that
exactly.
would probably be why I wanted to tune into this event.
Exactly.
Yeah,
no live stream that I'm aware of, but I'll let you know if I find out anything later.
You know, it always whenever you mentioned the Clarion Ledger a moment ago, I always grew up with it being the Clarion Ledger, right? It was never anything else. So I had to take 2 seconds to figure out why and how did the Clarion Ledger get its name.
Usually those things are a merger of some sort.
Thank you. Your genius just emanates so easily from you, doesn't it?
Well, it's just that newspapers never, the ones that survive pick up the ones around them.
That's right,
usually
that's right.
Over time.
We had the Clarion, which was started in 1837 following the Civil War in Jasper County. It moved to Jackson, became known as the Clarion, mm-hmm. and then the State Ledger, a competing newspaper printed in the area that was purchased and merged with the Clarion. So, yeah, that's just a little bit of Jackson.
There's some institutions that the names work and some that don't. I can't even remember what 3M was before it became 3M, but it was three different things that started with M.
Right.
Some do and some don't. Some do and some don't, my friends. In addition to that, I understand that there. How am I not at one of these? Why are there two pickle festivals today?
Well,
I don't know about all that. But
in the same area?
I don't know. I just saw the crawl on your screen there that you sent me this morning, and I'm fascinated. I know we all love pickles. there's a lot of love of pickles around there.
I like the spicy ones, you know.
Nathan wants us to know that there are traffic cameras and CCTVs in New Orleans, so we might be able
I need to get a hacker.
He may be willing to help us with this. I will not be today, y'all. Today I have tomatoes up to my elbows, and today is BLT day.
That's a good problem to have.
It's a great problem. So I'm gonna be real busy. I got lots of tomatoes to mess with, so that's what I'll be doing. But it's fun that, you know, it's on the opposite end of the spectrum. Coming up this next week is National Hermit Week. And all I could think of, because we generally associate hermits, that is to say people who go and prefer to live away from society. Now we might say off the grid, you know, except that you have to have a whole lot of money to live off the grid. Anyway, but I would prefer to think about hermit crabs. So I want to know if anybody else besides me played with them as a child, and we were not mean to them. We put bees in jars, y'all. That was not nice. But we didn't do that to the hermit crabs. We fed them and let them race across the porch in Gulfport. So maybe you have some of those. Maybe you have some of those memories of your own. We'll talk about them as we go along today. Let's talk to Mike this morning. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good. Thank you. Welcome into the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Just had a question about a fig tree that split on me last year. It was probably 30 years old, productive all through the years. And when it split, of course, you know, we had to get rid of it. And but now the remnants of the roots and all sprouts are coming up. Well, the sprouts that are coming up, is it a good chance they'll be productive? Or is that the way to go with that or not?
Yeah, figs are kind of known for that. They'll get knocked over or, in some cases, run over by machinery. I've seen that, too. And usually, if they try to sprout, they're going to try to sprout. You know, they'll come on back. Just encourage it as you would any tree that you put there. And it won't be quick, but, they grow pretty fast.
Oh, no, it looks like it's 15 or 20 of them that's coming up from the mm-hmm. roots.
Well, you'll have to select, yeah. You'll be able to select.
Send them mm-hmm. out.
Yeah, I would select the three strong ones and let those go. And if the others can be dug out, then you've got more to put somewhere else. But if not, let them go and just make yourself a nice, stable, three-trunked fig tree. Another few decades, you know.
Well, like I say, this one was about 30 years old, and it was great. It was great, and it just didn't make it. It split, and it just all the limbs laid on the ground.
I'm looking at a couple of things that I don't think are going to survive my transition to a warmer climate, and even just a little bit can mess with some of my plants. And I've had to just say, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
that was a fig tree. Your fig tree was great. Your next fig tree will be great, too.
Thank you. Enjoy your show.
Thank you very much. Glad you called today. Appreciate that. My goodness, that's a big eggplant at supertalk.tv. I'm thinking that's got to be fried. You know, that's going to be some good stuff. A couple of plants that I sent today, and I don't know what's wrong with my eye has not been as good as it should be when I'm editing these photos, obviously. But at any rate, we talk about abelia today. There are beautiful plants that bloom in the summer, and cleome and abelia are two of them. So I sent those to you today. I wanted you to take a look at them and remind me to talk about them. A lot of people don't like cleomes. Or cleomes, or spider flowers, or so many different, you know, we call everything by six different names in this part of the world. But it's true that there are several different kinds of cleomes. I do like the sparkler variety, but when it recedes, it's not going to be necessarily the sparkler variety that comes back, which is a slightly smaller, slightly less aromatic, because some people don't like that. It's just as sticky. The leaves and stems are just as sticky as the other cleomes, but it won't be quite as smelly. But when it reseeds, which it will do, which is why we have them everywhere all the time in this part of the world, you'll see them come back up, but they may not be the exact same one. So if you planted sparkler, which tends to top out at a couple of feet tall, and the next year you've got seedlings coming up, keep an eye on them, because if they grow real fast, you may have to transplant them to the back of the bed or the back of the border. I think I have a feeling who sent us the squirrel feeding area. Oh, goodness, isn't it the truth? We feed them whether we want to or not. Nathan's telling me, in addition to the New Orleans cameras, Nathan is kind enough to mention the wind chimes when he writes in, and yes, I do. I am crazy about those things. Let's see. There you go. Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing. Mm-hmm. I knew Ray would know, but I'm serious. We with 3M stuck.
A lot easier to say too.
It's a lot easier.
Saved them a lot of money in marketing too.
Oh, don't you know? Good grief! Just putting that many letters on your business card. Tough stuff. Yeah, that's true. There were all the Sunday newspapers used to be a thing. For those of you who too are too young to get into that, I trust that there's many issues online you can go and thumb through. But when we got those big papers on the weekend, that was a lot of time you could spend.
Oh,
if you
goodness,
had any, if you had any to spare at all, you'd be reading comics or catching up on editorials or, you know, just reading news from all over the place.
I love the diversity of the comics. I mean, they just went on and on forever. And then you had the classifieds, too, that were classic.
Now, don't get me started. I love classified ads. We don't see them as much as we used to, of course, but there are still small newspapers that do have that feature. And there are people who actually collect them and put the funniest and sometimes the saddest ones on the internet. But it's just like when people first started texting. I'm going to try to make this relatable to people that have never heard of classified ads. When you started texting, they charged you by the character, by each letter or number that you sent. So you had to, that's where all that language and slang comes from. You know,
like the telegraph back in the day.
ICYMI is in case you missed it, because you couldn't afford to type in case you missed it. Okay. So all of that stuff came about just like that. And in many ways, yes, you're right. The telegraph is the same sort of thing. And these other bits and pieces of the whole thing that we try and work with in terms of classified was you had to limit it to three lines. And three lines in a column that's only an inch and a half wide is not very many words. So you had to be able to, you know, say, wedding dress, bought my mistake, barely used, or something, you know, whatever you wanted to say, but you had to say it quickly. And then the contact information. So that's the difference between the sorts of ads that you would see now and the ones that you did then. And yes, of course, Sunday Comics and Silly Putty. Now we're getting there. That was so much fun because Silly Putty, of course, will pick up anything that's printed like that and makes it. Oh, it was fun, just a blast.
Well, you know, we're getting more, I think, like that even today. With, you know, we don't see everything in print. It's not long form. It's, you know, everything's so condensed. And an example was when I ran by McDonald's this morning to grab, you know, something to eat and grab the dog a biscuit. And they go, hey, do you want to order on your app? I'm like, no. I'm like talking to you. I think I'll order with you. You know, and you hear that at every place. So there, you know, there's limitations now to actually just saying something in normal ways and communicating in a normal way is always a shortcut now, you know.
Well, someone asked me this week if I thought an AI would be able to replace me in this job on the radio. And I said, well, I'm sure that there's AIs that know, you know, have been taught as much as I know about horticulture, but I don't think, unless you AI the audience, you know, we're not going to be able to do that because we have to be able to interact with things that are not expected, which is part of the joy of this job. So
it'd be interesting to see the, you know, whatever AI is invented and thinks it can do this, like reading the text line.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Respond to the text line. What? Hold on now.
Wait. What are we doing? Sunday Comics and Silly Putty? Okay.
You'd have to give it a hard stop, too, because if it started reading text from other shows, it would really get off. You know, you'd fry the thing.
Yeah. And embarrass yourself, too, at the same time. Ken's deadheading bee balm. The good news is that as soon as they begin to get a little crispy around the edges, if you'll cut them off, that plant will bloom again. Those are pretty. You can cut them with stems long enough for a small vase if you wanted to, but all you have to do is go down and cut them in between, cut the stem so that you're leaving two strong leaves below where the flower is. You'll get it. It'll be beautiful again. They bloom several times a summer if you can do that for them. Okay. James in Oxford, is North Mississippi still in a drought? Technically, at the moment, yes, but I do. You're right. I think things are breaking. They just aren't. The deficits were so tremendous up there, but I don't know about now. Let's see. Mary's in Clinton. She's got St. Augustine grass, and around the birch tree, there's black spot. Looks like oil is coming up from the ground. Huh. Well, I don't know what that is. I would suggest that you dig up a scoop of it, put it into a plastic box or, you know, like a to-go box or something, or a plastic bag. Take it to your favorite garden center, and if you don't have a favorite one, take it to Lakeland and ask Scott what it is, and they'll help you figure out what that problem is. I don't know what that is.
I mean, if Texaco shows up,
I would love to say I hope you struck oil,
yeah,
but
so
you know,
Jed Clampett situation.
That would be so great. That would be just wonderful. But I don't think that's it. I think there's something else going on. But somebody will tell us. Pretty flowers today at supertalk.tv. That's just gorgeous. Really, really pretty. The folks at Antique Rose Emporium have been putting out some really, really good tips. I don't know if you all get their email newsletters or if you go to their site ever, but not only do they sell wonderful roses, they have great advice, and it's a beautiful place to visit, too. I have always known this, but I don't know that I've ever said it. If you like what are called cabbage roses, like I do, the Clotilde Super is a real tight bud, and it opens up into a real multi-petaled flower. The more petals, the harder it is for those flowers to open when the humidity is high. And so that's one of the things that they're talking about today. There are other things, of course, that can cause your rosebuds not to open. One of them is thrips, and I have talked about that. But I've never talked about the fact that, in fact, that indeed it is true, the more petals, the more, you know, there's different kinds of roses. They do a real good job this week of telling you about petal count and how it influences things. But I love that we have singles, semi-doubles, doubles, full, okay? And then very full. And the very full have the most petals. They will have 40 petals or more, and that's they're the hardest ones to get through the high humidity. So that between high humidity and thrips, you may have maybe seeing a few problems in your roses. In terms of the thrips, of course, the thing is to cut open that bud that did not open on the plant and put it over a piece of paper or a counter or something and see what falls out of it. And when the dust moves, those are thrips. They're little bitty. Well, I have a piece of good news for you today, I think. The nutritional focus on diabetes is certainly very important to us here in the Deep South. And in fact, potatoes have gotten a bad reputation, but it may be because of French fries. I know, y'all, I love French fries. This is so hard for me to tell you, but it is true.
Don't talk bad about the French now.
I'm telling you, a large study that just tracked more than 200,000 people for nearly 40 years, okay, this was not a modest endeavor. It's been going on. Those eating 3 servings of French fries per week was linked to a 20% higher risk of developing diabetes. Now, they realized that that's not necessarily just the potatoes, but in the study, people who ate other forms of potatoes did not have that percentage. Their percentages were much less. So it goes obviously to individual people, but it does tell you that those of us who have adopted the Fried Friday way of life, you don't eat fried food but once a week, so you better get all you need, all you want. But that may not be such a bad idea. I give all credit to a former editor of mine for putting that into my head. And it also found that swapping potatoes for whole grains lowered some of the risk, but replacing them with white rice did not have that effect. So my love for brown rice is once again validated.
I like all rices, especially just white rice with a little butter on it.
I understand.
As a kid, you know, that just throws me back. Some people put sugar on their rice, right?
Some do. Some people eat cream of wheat. I don't do that either. Mm-hmm. Let's step away. We got a lot to talk about today, taking your calls and your phone calls and texts. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Here's Sammy the Shovel here to tell you to call before you dig.
A lot of homeowners are working hard to create a loving home. Whether it's expanding that crowded deck, maybe a swimming pool, good times start with these additions. And that's why we respectfully ask you to first call 811 and have your utilities properly marked before you dig. It saves you from injury and expense. It's the law, and it's just the right thing to do. So call 811 before you dig. Remember us for your next project. Just call 811.
Hey, this
gold that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, bah, 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 bah. Ooh, bah, 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 bah.
They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. Charge the people $1.50 just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
It's such a joy to see somebody who's been real ill come back and be really cool and very strong. And Joni Mitchell is certainly one of the people who has done that. She has we really have to thank Brandi Carlile for bringing so many of these grand dames back into the spotlight. But there's a lot to be said for being ahead of your time. And much of Joni's poetry was quite a bit ahead of its time. There's no doubt about that. Oh, my goodness. I was reflecting on hermit crabs and reflecting on catching bees. And Nathan says he doesn't remember trying to catch bees, but they did try to catch lightning bugs in jars. Remember that, too. Yep. Sometimes we were allowed to stay out after dark, and sometimes we weren't. But the lightning bugs were always a good reason for that. Does anybody else like hermit crabs as much as I do? That's the question. If you don't, this next minute's probably going to be kind of boring, because I do want to say this. Hermit crabs are one of nature's oddest creatures. And at the same time, they're very efficient in the way that they live, and they are very effective in the way that they carry on in their environment. The shells they live in, that were somebody else's, usually snail shells, the reason they do that is because their backside is kind of soft and it needs protection, so that's what holds them in the shells. And then when they outgrow it, they all kind of come together. Despite being called hermits, they're actually not. They work in big social groups, and they'll basically do like a thrift store, you know. You got a bigger one, I've got a bigger one, you bring the one over that's smaller and we swap it for a bit, move up forward, get to the next size, do all that. They do not molt in the classic sense. They just disattach from one shell and move into the other one. They have 10 sets of legs. Isn't that amazing?
That's so cool. Call them squatter crabs.
10 legs, yeah, that's right.
It seems like they like to get together a little bit and
hang
out.
They play a little bit. But they're also really efficient at cleaning up, like, they eat everything. They're what are called omnivorous scavengers. And that's to our benefit, you know, 'cause they clean up stuff. And that's really the fun part of, I didn't realize that they actually communicated, although I have heard them do that. We were famous in my family for racing hermit crabs on the porch. That would only be like 3 or 4 of them, but they do talk to each other. They do make noise after all they're put back in their box all together. And I didn't realize that was common. I thought that was just ours, but that's what they do.
There says there's over 800 different species of hermit crabs. So.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a complicated language, probably.
I'm sure they do. They're probably saying at that point, are these children going to put us back outside? And the answer was always yes. The answer was always yes, because, you know, we weren't going to keep them. But There are some that are all marine and some that are not all marine. Obviously, we were playing with the ones that live on the beach, not in the water. So anyway, just hermit crabs, you know. They're cool, I think. The coconut crabs are one of my favorites. But anyway, that's enough on that. People are going, what is she talking about now?
It's beach season. Everybody's going to be encountering the hermit crab.
You know? I guess that's true.
Always fun.
If they didn't know it, they needed to know by now, that's for sure. Well, you know, there's some stuff going on in the world today. I see pictures all the time now of spots on plants and kind of not really foamy areas that look like, that they don't look like mushrooms, but they look like some kind of a growth. And in some cases, it's simply a matter of what was there before it rained really hard. And sometimes it's literally the rain that causes these things to pop up. And if you pull them out once and they're not there anymore, then you know that whatever fungi it was, you've taken care of. The ones that come up in your flower pots are not likely to be the ones that you want to eat. So be real careful about that sort of stuff. And give yourself the opportunity to identify them with somebody who knows what they're doing. Okay?
Yeah. That means a very good point right there.
That would not be me.
Don't holler at me. I have no idea.
I worked for someone once whose husband was a mycologist, and she had a degree that was focused on mycology, but because he was a PhD, she did not consider herself to be a specialist, much less an expert. Okay, that's how clear these people are about what they're looking at and who should be telling you what this is. It's not me. It is not me. Did go to some beautiful hikes with them that were just gorgeous things and come back and cook what they had harvested, but that's not me. On the other hand, we were talking about this. Someone was making tea out of clovers. And I said, I have no problem with that. The question was, is that safe? Well, if you grew the clover, certainly it is. If if it's been sprayed by something else that you don't know about, it's not such a good idea, you know. But that's just the way that works. You got to know what it is. The same thing is true, for example, if you wanted to grow something and feed your animals, you would need to know what went into it. Your bunnies might like to eat it, but if it's not safe for them, it's not going to be a good experience for you or them. Okay. Let's talk to Patricia. Van Cleve, is that right?
That's right. She has a tomato question for you.
Hey, Patricia. Welcome in.
Hey. Hey, how are you? What
doing?
It is, I had planted a little cherry tomato in a pot, and it got a pretty good size, growing real good, blooming, had little tomatoes on it, then it started wilting.
Mm-hmm.
What causes that?
And what kind of tomato is it?
It's a little cherry tomato.
Okay. And how big is the pot?
I think it's probably about a gallon-sized pot or a little bit bigger, I'm thinking.
Okay. Did you get any tomatoes yet off of it?
No, ma'am. I had five on it, but mm-hmm. they're not doing anything because the plant just looked like it's dying.
Mm-hmm. It may be blight. It could be a couple of things. It could be just a simple blight if the leaves are yellow or spotted and it just seems to be spreading up the plant. That's probably a blight. And the good news is that it's almost time to plant tomatoes again because we can't do much about the blight. But if it is if the problem is that the roots are too crowded in that container, you may be able to prune off the damaged part and have it grow back for you. So I would try that. I would take off the part that doesn't look too good and give it some fertilizer, maybe move it into a larger pot. Try that and see if that'll help. And of course, keep something around so that at the first sign of a problem, you might see spots developing or you might see a leaf turning black or something. Any of those things, you would be able to treat it a little sooner because now you know what to look for.
Okay. All right.
And don't forget.
It's disappointing when you.
Oh, it's terrible. Tomatoes are terrible. Tomatoes drive me crazy. I have I have so many tomatoes now because I literally had to take the plants down, so they're all ripening on my counter, and they're beautiful, but I didn't mean to have them all the same week, you know. I meant for them to be on the plant. Unfortunately, I had some trouble with the plants, so I had to go ahead and take that apart. So I hear you.
Yeah.
The good news is it's almost time to plant some more.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank you very much.
Thank you. It's good to hear from you today. Don't we love Van Cleve?
Oh yeah. Be down there running around on Van Cleve in the coastal area right now. A beautiful place.
Love, love, love. I'm trying to see if I missed anything. Are you keeping up?
I'm trying, yeah. some good participation this morning. Appreciate the calls, too, as always. Love hearing from our amazing listeners.
Oh, Nathan's got chanterelles. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I have a great little story. The other day, I was digging up some flower beds and getting all the junk out of them and redoing them, putting some new beautiful pine straw in and making sure all the weeds and goodies were all pulled out before I did that, and called the landing and said, hey, need to get 12 rolls of pine straw. And they're like, yeah, great, no problem. I said, yeah, I need it in like tomorrow or the next day. They're like, no, he's already ready to go. He's on his way. So I was like, oh, great, I love this. I better get to work. We showed up in a couple minutes But right before he left, and his name Glenn Williams, what a great guy. He listens to Super Talk, but especially the gardening show on Saturday. He goes, what is your name? And I told him my name. He goes, I listen to you every day. And I was like, well, thank you so much. And he loves the Garden Mama show, too. So I just wanted to give him another shout out. And
appreciate that.
A wonderful guy. And,
it's a nice place.
Oh, yeah. Well, just good people. Mm-hmm. And thanks for the rapid service. It was so much. I have not been able to get it all out yet. It's been so hot outside. I've been melting. I don't know about you. I hope you've been taking care of yourself.
It is toasty. Mm. We were just discussing greater shade today.
My tomato, I wanted to ask, in tandem to her question, I've been able to kind of stabilize mine. They seem to be doing a little better, but getting some yellowing, not necessarily on the leaves. They just seem to be losing some of that dark green, kind of beautiful tomato-y color. I have one that is producing a lot of tomatoes. I worry that that's going to bother it. What do I need to do to maybe take care of it a little bit better. It's getting its water, they're getting their sun, all the little things, but there's something missing.
It's time for a half dose of some fertilizer.
Okay.
There's been plenty of rain on them, and since their fruit is set, the time you don't want to fertilize is when the tomatoes are trying to make fruit.
Okay.
Because at that point, you could knock off the flowers if you have too much nitrogen. But you've already got the fruit, and when the plants just begin to get a little bit sad, you know, it's partly the heat, it's partly the end of their life, because their whole point, of course, is to make that fruit produce a seed and kick off to the next generation, okay? Mm-hmm. So you're on the right track, but if you give them a little bit of fertilizer and pick your fruit, the plant will think, oh no, now I've got to bloom again and make some more fruit,
okay,
if the temperature allows it to do that.
Right, and then finally, you had mentioned on some of the blossom end rot over the last couple of weeks that we've had this conversation, you know, a little calcium doesn't hurt. Could you use like a calcium tablet and dissolve it in water,
no,
or do you want to go with something else? You want to go with a real...
You want to go with tomato food because it has calcium in it, or there are products for the flowers that are usually called tomato set or blossom set, and you spray that on the flowers to give it calcium.
Fantastic.
But no, you can't...
You can't ad lib.
You can't jump up into the cabinet and take out the calcium pills you were supposed to take for your bones.
Right, yeah.
No, it's not going to
work. Didn't know
if
my plant would start running, you know.
Well, if it would, we'd use them, but they won't.
Come back, tomato!
Yeah, they won't go into their ripe ability to take care of your plants. This is a good question about suckers. Ray and Clinton, do I take suckers off? And is it your opinion, people say that don't pull them off? And people say you won't have tomatoes if you don't pull them off. People say a lot of stuff, don't they? I've seen tomato plants make tomatoes with suckers and without. So let's put that to rest. The concern is usually that the suckers are taking away energy from the bigger plant. And since the sucker is what appears in the crotch of the leaf and the stem. Okay, so you've got that happening, and it's not going to be a place where necessarily tomatoes are going to form on that particular one. And if the growing conditions are slightly stressful, the problem with the suckers is that they're using up water and fertilizer that need to be going to the rest of the plant. On the other hand, if there's any sort of issue about the tomatoes, you know, maybe you've had a leaf problem, or maybe there's been another issue, or maybe it's just really hot and sunny where they're growing, that's oftentimes when people will say, well, just go ahead and let the suckers come out because they'll give a little shade to the tomatoes below. So you hear both things. You also hear people say, take the suckers off and root them and grow your next crop of tomatoes from them. You also hear people say, they'll never root, or they'll root but they'll never make tomatoes. I've seen all of those things happen. So I say, if your plant is plenty thick, go ahead and take the suckers off. Stick a couple in a glass of water and see if they root. Why not? It's curiosity just to see whether they will or not. But people are very torn up about suckers. I will say this, if you're trying to grow the award-winning tomato, like the biggest one for your neighborhood competition or something, you definitely take the suckers off because you want all that energy to go to the fruit. Okay? Okay. Little beetle on tomato plant stems. Yeah, they're piercing and they are sucking, and what they can't suck, they do immediately reject. The best idea is going to be to pluck them off, because whatever you would spray them with has to get through that beetle's back, and oftentimes that's not effective. But you don't want them to continue to dehydrate your plants. So first thing is to take a sharp, bright stream of water and try to blast them off the plants from your hose. Okay, the next thing is to get something in your hand, like an old pillowcase or some piece of cotton or something, and touch the stems and flick them so the beetles can fall into your hand and you can get rid of them that way. The third thing, of course, would be to spray the plants. And this is a case for probably Captain Jack, who's going to be the best one. Okay, it's been no sad if you don't use Captain Jack as the name of the product. Okay, there's the tomato lesson for today. I'm so glad y'all are growing tomatoes. I might plant some more, I might not. I have to think about that. Anyway. Oh my goodness. We'll be right back.
Stroke Behavioral Health and Addiction Services, located in Hattiesburg, is one of the nation's most comprehensive treatment campuses. Pine Grove provides the highest quality mental health care and addiction treatment for children, adolescents, and adults. Pine Grove offers many levels of care, including inpatient and outpatient treatment for children and adolescents. If you have any questions, please call 1-888-574-HOPE and visit pinegrovetreatment.com.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
What an oldie. It's interesting, you know, I did work as a bartender for a period of time, and I have to say, stale perfume is a real thing. It's not it's not fun.
Yeah, after a ball game.
Uh-huh, all of that.
Everybody comes in.
Exactly.
What's happening here?
Where have y'all been? But anyway, that's another thing. Another good tomato question. I've always bought them in six packs when they're very small, like 1 to 2 inches tall. The reason being, it allows the roots to go and grow into that soil that you're putting them into rather than in their container. Is that a good idea? Because you do see people buying plants with tomatoes already on them. And I had someone just last year say to me, you know, if I'm going to pay $5 for that tomato plant, if I have a choice, I'm going to go ahead and get the one with the tomato on it. There's a certain logic to that. But what it means, of course, is that that tomato plant has been sitting there long enough to make a tomato as well as its roots. And it's probably going to be very pot-bound. So the issue will be the shock that it has to go through to get its roots restarted. I agree that starting smaller plants is better. But on the other hand, I also agree that you want to have something that you know it's going to make, particularly when you have to pay a fair amount for it. So, if you buy a tomato plant that's already going and got fruit on it, particularly, I say, be careful, be sure you're going to prune the roots and get it into a bigger container, and then go ahead and get that fruit off as quickly as possible so that you can get the plant to grow and not continue to try to support the fruit. Okay, so. Both approaches work, but I'm also one that would rather get the smaller plant and grow it on myself. Right now I'm dealing with a shishito pepper plant that was the only one that I could actually get this year, and it's 3 feet tall, but it doesn't have that many leaves on it, but the fruit's all at the top. So I'm adapting, but I've never grown a pepper quite like that, you know. Not paying that much attention to that pepper plant. Let's see. Oh, okay. This is a good question. Up in Tupelo, hey y'all. She wants to cut down several feet. Do I wait until after the blooms on this crepe myrtle, and how much can I safely cut? It's a full-grown tree, and it looks a little sparse. So this is a hard one. If you cut it back, as long as you're cutting back branches that are no bigger around than your thumb, or a little smaller around than that, the chances are real good you'll get lots of green leafy growth to replace what you're hoping to find, and then maybe even some flowers this fall. If you're having to cut wood to do this pruning that you want to do, that's as big around as your wrist, you should wait until January to do that. So if you want to do some smaller pruning, lighter pruning, that's fine. But if you want to do heavy pruning on crepe myrtles and most other flowering trees, but particularly crepe myrtles, wait until January. Okay. That's really beautiful, though. I can see why you want to tend to it. It's a beautiful. It has good form. It's just kind of out of its it's out of its space. I understand. Yep. Okay, that's good. Little beetles, we did that one. Y'all have the most interesting questions. And that's why I don't think AI is going to be able to replace me anytime soon.
Well, I guess unless it replaces the people asking the questions, too.
I'm saying, you know, if we can have an AI audience, I mean, we can do that. We can certainly pretend with all of it. But, speaking of bars, today is International Axe Throwing Day. I hope those two things are not involved in each other. I like darts. I'm pretty good at darts for a person that can't see very well. But axe throwing has always kind of eluded me. And I don't, if you are one who loves to do that, let me know. I'd love to hear from you because I'm fascinated. But I'm not sure. I'm just not sure about it. It's like the people that compete on log rolling. You know, they get in the water and the team has to stand on, the different competitors rather have to stand on logs and not fall in the water. Well, that's a good skill to know, but why would you want to waste your fun time on it? I don't know. Maybe it's worth a lot of money, and I just don't know.
Yeah. I was at one of those axe places when it first opened, and I'd stopped late in the afternoon to get a beer and meet a friend, and we were just sitting there. And as the crowd started kind of coming in, I was fascinated as to what was actually going to happen, mm-hmm. you know, all these axes mm-hmm. and the targets mm-hmm. and everything. And we were pretty good ways away from the throwing as it started. And one of those axes backed up off the wall and skipped across, went through a crowd, and landed right under our table. And I looked at her, and I was like, we might want to move locations.
This might not be our thing here.
Yeah, that was my initiation.
Well, and that's, I kind of think that's kind of what I'm feeling, is that I don't know if I want to see that. I don't know if I want to be there. Gloria sent us pictures of her 10-foot-tall lily. It's not quite that tall, but it is beautiful. Great big thing. Just lovely as it can be. And she says that the scent is delightful at sunset. I bet it is, because that's a beautiful lily. I like a bright, solid color red lily. That's real pretty. Really, really pretty. Let's see. I have a leaf vac mulcher. This is Patty in North Van Cleve. We can get inches of rain, but the mulch produced is water repellent. Half an inch under the surface, the mulch is bone dry. I feel like I'm keeping water from around my plants and compost instead of in it. You're absolutely right, because that is what happens. I've had people laugh at me in talks when I'll say, now, every so often, you need to go out there and pull your mulch back, particularly if you tend to put it out and just leave it, and make sure that the water from the rain or that from your irrigation that you're paying for is getting into the soil. Because if it's not, what you need to do is take out a little bit of the mulch or even rake it away completely until you can get the place well hydrated. But you sometimes it's just easy enough to just pull it back from the desirable plants so that at least those are getting watered. But you're right. It is when the mulch works, it is supposed to moderate the amount of water that gets in. But sometimes it works a little too well.
Sounds like a Dollar General towel. I bought a couple of those the other day, and I swear they do not take any water off of you. They're real good at pushing it around, though. You know, so.
Well, maybe
I don't know what that stuff is. It's like made of rayon or something.
It's not. Yeah, I'm that way about. There's several different kinds of towels and things that I find are just really like dish towels that don't do anything. They don't even wipe up the stuff on the counter. And it's like, what did you make this out of? I think you might be right about the nylon. That's possible. Gorgeous, gorgeous night blooming cereus. These are beautiful. I can't even count the flowers. There's so many. That's just gorgeous. 2 weeks in a row. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Mary. Appreciate that. We had 5 flowers this week. Nothing like this. She's got tons. That's just gorgeous. Beautiful, beautiful. How fun. I'm sure I've eaten this, but I didn't realize it. Today is National Chamoy Day. This is the Mexican condiment that I'm sure Lance knows about. It is sweet, sour, and spicy all at the same time.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Mexican candy.
It is made from dried chilies, fruit, and lime.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I've had it I've had it in a punch, but it was, you know, I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't remember after that.
It wasn't alcohol.
Oh, okay. I thought you had a hunch punch.
No, this was, although I will say that garbage can, you know.
Oh, come on. That's a delicacy, man.
Does make a thing. But I really appreciate this. Apparently, there's big fights in whether you use it in cocktails or fruit dishes, or some people bake a thing like a crumble.
Mm.
But it has this, has the chamoy in it. And to me, I'm saying, I think I need to try all of this.
Yeah, give me a little
I know that I know I had this, as I say, once, but I don't think I knew its potential. No axe throwing. Maybe a little chamoy talk. Lots of gardening. We will be back.
I'm Brad Phillips from Yazoo City, Mississippi. It's an honor to be named Mississippi's Catfish Farmer of the Year. I work hard to maintain the highest quality from my pond to your plate. U.S. Catfish is 100% American and 100% certified by the USDA. In fact, U.S. Catfish is the first seafood to meet those strict standards. So always look for the U.S. farm-raised catfish seal and find recipes and restaurants at uscatfish.com.
When you're searching for the perfect piece of recreational property, we hope you think of Mississippi Land Bank. For generations, we've helped people finance the land in North Mississippi that they've always dreamed of owning, whether for hunting or fishing or just to get away. We mean it when we say we're here for you every step of the way, because our lenders are landowners, hunters, and fishermen too. Visit us today at mslandbank.com. That's mslandbank.com.
Help. Joining us, this is the Garden Mama Show. I am the Garden Mama. That is Lance. He's the reason why you can hear me today. And my crew here in the remote studio also has a big responsibility, and they take care of me. And all I have to do is smile and talk about plants. So I appreciate all of y'all very, very much. We were talking in the previous hour, though, about disappointing purchases in kitchen towels.
No, yeah.
And that has cranked us up here on our text line. Because we all think it's just us when they don't work. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, you get those things and you think, well, that I just must have, what, wonder why this.
Yeah, it's a towel. It should work.
It's a towel. It should be a towel.
There's no batteries.
But it doesn't. And that's, so we don't know what they're made of, but we're pretty sure they have a higher plastic content than they have anything else. So that brings us to our perennial topic here, microplastics. Ah, yes. I don't know how to give you this one because it's a tough one. There's stories and stories and stories all the time. But in our particular part of the world, we think about people, you know, we think about using, getting that kitchen clean and wiping the counters down. And then somebody tells you that, well, you may not really want to do that. You may just be spreading the soil around. We've heard that before, and obviously this may be a surprise to some of you, but when you butcher chicken or you work with chicken or any other fowl meats, that stuff has to be completely separate. If you have to keep your knife clean and not use it on anything else. You have to keep your surfaces. I mean, it's important. But microplastics are right up there in that category of things for me. If I'm going to teach you how to keep your kitchen, I need to tell you the kitchen sponges release microplastics as they wear down. First I thought, well, this is just the first sort of foray into everybody needs to buy new sponges to sell more sponges. But I don't know that that's true. Some, because what they did was to test them, and there's some that shed a whole lot faster than others. University of Bonn did this. They tested in the laboratory, but they also used citizen scientists in Germany and in the United States. in order to really collect some good data. North America, Canada was involved too. They volunteered to use one of the three sponge types and then documented how the sponges were used. And for those of you who are falling asleep, I'm telling you, this is important. It's really important. They reproduced it. What they found it was that dishwashing by hand still has a greater environmental impact as the results of this study because of the amount of water it uses versus the amount of water that's used in a dishwashing machine. So less in, less out. Sponges do vary. And the question is also, can you use a cloth instead? Obviously, our experience today tells us no, but you should be able to use other cloths that would not be as contaminatable as a sponge, but then obviously you have to clean them, so there's an environmental impact to that too. So there we go. I do not know about the peach crops, except that I did get some at somewhere that were not very good. So if anybody knows about the peach crops this year, let us know. We have a writer that wants to tell us wants to know if there's Alabama or Georgia has good peaches. Who's on the phone, Lance?
We have Jay in Biloxi. He's on the road today, and he had a question about satsumas.
Ooh, hey, Jay. What's going on?
When it snowed last winter, my satsuma crop was cankered, kind of. Horrible tasting, and it came back, and now I have some now. I just want to make sure, hopefully, they're okay. Or I know it's planted pretty close to a crepe myrtle within about 10 feet, so I'm just making sure that's not making them taste bad.
No, it shouldn't. Before you had the bad year, you had good years? You had gotten fruit in previous years, is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Previous years, that tasted very good.
Well, you shouldn't have any problem. The cold is a big problem with citrus. And since your tree survived and it's made new fruit, I think you can just be glad. And some other folks who have had greater damage to theirs and the tree just doesn't come back, or it comes back and doesn't make any fruit. So I think you're ahead of the game. Do you know what variety your satsuma is?
I have no idea.
Okay, that's all right.
My daughter wanted a tree, a fruit tree, and named it Juicy, and we planted it and laughed, and all of a sudden now we have a bunch of satsumas.
That's great. That's wonderful. No, I think it'll be all right. I believe if the damage had been serious, you would not have gotten any good result. You wouldn't have gotten any fruit. Certainly. So keep an eye on it, and if any problem seems to develop, let me know and I'll see what I can find out. But generally speaking, when the fruit is set, we're on our way to some good tasting. And now I want satsumas.
Yes. And Lance, you can juice the satsumas and put them in an ice tray and pour it over vodka.
Yes. Man, that's you let me know when those satsumas are ready.
I'm telling you.
We'll send Nellie on the way. She'll have a truckload.
That's not a bad idea. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the advice on that. All definitely.
Right. See, and then the next thing, take care now. The next thing that we end up doing is the adult slushies, you know.
Love an adult slushie. I make one with a beer every day.
Well, I don't want beer in my slushie, but I would like some satsuma.
Yeah, you just got to let it sit in the freezer long enough until it is a slushie, and then you have a beer slushie.
All right, this is not Alabama or Georgia, but the TSM Peach Farm in Brandon has got a good
close.
Crop. That's close by. They tell us that there's a good. Mary says there's a good. And since Mary can grow night bloom in Sirius better than me, I'm telling you, she knows some stuff. So
got a good pick of that.
Check them out. She says they're also on Facebook. Oh, my goodness. Speaking of eating too much and carrying on, today is National Gin Day. And that's G-I-N, not like, you know, some other, not like cotton gin, but like gin like you would drink. I'm not a big gin drinker, but I certainly understand why people like it. Some of the funniest things about gin, though, are the, you know, it's something that came from the alchemists, all right? It was a medical treatment of some sort for something.
Malaria in many cases, I believe.
But then it was actually, even before we knew it was malaria, they gave it to you for other things. But it was because it was the Netherlands, it was on every ship. You know, they sent it everywhere. It got popular when it was reinvented by the British Navy into the gin and tonic.
Yeah, had like a little quinine tablet, I think they would send with them.
They did. They put that. That's once they had figured that part out. But people just were drinking it. They called it Dutch courage, and people basically were, well, the gin craze was what they called it. It sounds scary to me. I don't know if I would be wanting to do all of that. But Salerno, Italy, is apparently where they began distilling the elixirs for medicines. The monks would put in the juniper berries, and that, of course, is where the taste comes from. And why my friends who are international foragers, and yes, I do know a couple, go. That's why they go far and wide in search of the best juniper berries. I've told them they could just come here, but it's not quite exotic enough. They have to go to the cliffs of Scotland and stuff. But at any rate, Genever is the malt wine-based spirit that was juniper and botanicals, because it tasted so rough in the first place. So they started manipulating it, and eventually the Navy people figured out, gin and tonic, and thus Dutch courage. But at any rate, it's funny. How fun, Call Gin Time Again. You're right. Good tune.
Mike said he had just called and gave us a little heads up and said a good remedy that is proven out there is California golden raisin soaked in gin, and that actually is supposed to be very, very good and proven helpful for arthritis.
Well, it's certainly worth a try.
Yeah. It's kind of like Mamaw's old cough medicine. You know, it had the bourbon in it, so even if it didn't quit, you know, the cold, you didn't know you were still feeling good.
Bourbon, peppermint, and lemon juice.
There you go. She'd shake up that thing until it all dissolved in the mason jar.
My father was a teetotaler except for that. If it had to be medicinally applied. Why do I think that Peaches has sent us this decadent chocolate pie from Dolly Parton?
I know he did.
I'm sorry, y'all. That's just too much. I do love me some Dolly, though.
I love chocolate pie. I don't know about you, but wow.
Little
confectioner's sugar sprinkled lightly over it.
Her cornbread mix is too sweet for me, so this would probably be too sweet for my taste, too. But, I mean, why not? See, there's my BLTs. It's not mine. Those are his.
I've enjoyed my BLTs so far.
I don't use Duke's.
You don't use Duke's. I like all the mayos. Mm-mm. Are you a Hellman's or Blue Plate or... what is your favorite?
I like Blue Plate, but I don't even like it very much.
Yeah.
I like Oddball, you know, the ones that are made with avocado oil and stuff.
Love a mayo, man. This stuff's good stuff.
Yes. Anyway, that's enough about gin, I think.
As far as the tomatoes that you've harvested, are yours real tangy and juicy? Mine were absolutely delicious.
These have been delicious. Yeah, these have been just really good this year. I think they got enough rain at the beginning when they were coming along. And now, of course, it has turned off a little bit drier, but it still hasn't gone to drought conditions in central or south Mississippi. And as a result, they're just beautiful. I was looking at some Gary Bachman and other folks on the coast were showing them off this week. Theirs are pretty, too. In Oxford, what is the best time to start the second planting of summer veggies, tomato, okra, cucumber? If you're planting pumpkins, she mentions that, too. Plant the pumpkins by July 1st if you want them for Halloween. And look at your variety, because if it's a little bit longer than that, you may have to get in there and get them in the ground this week if you're really trying to grow the big ones. But average-sized pumpkins can be planted July 1st. Now, going back to the other things, when you're talking about you're in Oxford and you want to plant your fall garden, you're going to start with some of these things in July, but that's starting the seedlings to get them ready. So if you're not growing anything in the seedling world, you can really start at that point looking towards your fall beans, you know, things that you plant right away, and then get into the cooler things as the weather cools a little bit, the broccolis and whatnot. But tomato plants, if you want to grow your own from seed, go ahead and get started now, because by the time they're grown, it'll be time to plant them. And of course, then again, we start planting beets again in August. So, you know, it all runs really quickly. If you need to start something and grow a seedling, go ahead and start now. And certainly start shopping garden centers and whatnot. See what you can find that they'll have this year. I don't grow much corn in the fall. What you're looking for, though, is a variety. Something like Merit, that's not necessarily the one you want to get, but something that's only going to be about 4 feet tall, because you don't have enough time for the bigger varieties. Cucumbers also, I would probably go for a container type cucumber, because it'll grow faster. Okra, you can plant okra any day you want to. In fact, I have some right now that I should be planting. So that's a good list, though. That's a good garden. Fun. Fun, fun, fun. So for those of you who may have missed it, today is in New Orleans, and in 2 weeks it'll be in St. Louis, the Naked Bike Riding Day. Needless to say, I'm not.
Again, that just kind of blows my mind that they choose a bicycle. But mm-hmm. Hey, wonderful.
Well, it's a bicycle awareness activity, mm-hmm. And the rest of it's just so that it's funny.
Exactly.
You know. Just noticed this on my camellia bush. Is it bad, Linda? Okay, Linda, I think it's probably a seed pod. Yeah. It's not growing on the leaf, and it's not growing on the stem, so it's not a gall. And this is most likely a seed pod. This is, if you pruned that camellia within 30 days after it bloomed, you would never see this. But that particular branch at least didn't get pruned, so you've got that. I'm not in favor of keeping them on there. I want you to go ahead and clip it off. Okie dokie. Yes, a lot of women's bicycles get chosen for naked bike rides. I feel confident. I think she's right about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Side saddle horses. Anyway, there's the whole thing. That's terrible. Terrible.
You did it to us.
I did,
No, it is. It's hilarious.
I hope all of it's going to dance in your heads, you know, for all.
I'm going to have the image of that stuck in my head, and I've had Poncho and Lefty, you know, in my head for about 3 days now since Country Western Wednesday.
Well,
so
that's going to be a rough day for you. It's going to be a little bit crazy, yeah. But why not? We have to try and do that. I'm intentionally avoiding the whole business of the screw worms, which are not actually worms. You understand, they're beetles. It's the larvae of the, so that's why they call it that. Anyway, I'm trying to avoid that, but you should also know that a notorious this is a different one, a deadly tapeworm. It's also spreading across America, and 37% of coyotes tested around Puget Sound is a shocking number to have this particular tapeworm, and it's one of those things that if you didn't know about it, you wouldn't know about it. But anywhere that coyotes live, this is good. The deer keep that camellia pruned, but they just missed that one. You can cut that one off. Oh my, that's funny. That is good stuff. Yeah. Oh my goodness. What's the best? Let's see. How to reduce the number of water lilies from a lake. I understand that I need to keep some, but I'm trying to keep them from taking over. That is an ongoing thing. And by the way, your other plants are beautiful that you're showing here today too, back in the olden days. I tell you, Stacy, this is the thing. As one who would rather see it be done physically than with any kind of chemical effort, I just have to tell you that it's removing them, and it's physically getting them out of there and getting them away from the water so they can't fall back in and start up again. There are products that people are advised to use, and I don't know enough about them, first of all, to tell you, but second of all, I wouldn't use them, particularly if I'm growing fish or if I intend to swim in that particular pond. Okay? Got to just physically get them out of there. And it's not going to be fun, but I don't know. I say get after it. Yes, indeed. Today I feel like I might be the Louisville Slugger, but sometimes you're the ball. We'll be right back.
Are you thinking about retirement, or are you recently retired? Do you have a plan, or do you have a drawer full of statements? If your answer is the latter, then you're not retirement planning, you're retirement hoping. Risks and inflation are rising, and planning is critical now. At Element Wealth, our exclusive 360 process can create a strategy to help protect what you've worked so hard to build while still providing growth. To start the conversation, visit myelementwealth.com or call 601-957-6006, 601-957-6006.
Ever imagine one company could transform how you live and work? With C-Spire, you're connected with advanced technology that enhances everything you do. How you order your morning coffee.
Order my usual.
How you secure your company's data. Even how you turn your backyard into your personal movie theater.
Start movie night.
Own your day on the network for connected living. There's more to see. C-Spire. Customer inspired.
I feel more beauty. Give it up.
My thanks again to photojournalist Vicki King for letting us share her magnificent image with you today. This is Jackson in that big storm a couple of weeks ago. And of course, like the artist she is, Vicki was out in the middle of it. Not surprising. Love, love, love. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture and magnificent work. A career full of it. Corinne is, that's a great question. Oh, just one more note. In terms of that, the pond issue and getting the water lilies out, yes, you got to get those out. My other suggestion, which I sent to our texter, is if you can replace some of that, because the idea of keeping the shade on the water is, of course, very important, but if you can replace some of those with other plants that are not so bullish, it might balance things out and give you a better cover. So flag iris and cannas. I mean, there's a bunch of things, cyperus, of course, but there's a lot of things that might also look nice, work in that situation, and help to keep the water lilies a little bit more under control. Corinne's in Jackson. She just sends a beautiful picture of what is indeed a green cone flower, and she wants to know, is this an anomaly, or, you know, what is it okay? And here's the other question: can I cut back my pineapple sage now so it won't be 4 feet tall when it blooms this fall? Yes, this is the best point in the year to do that. Same thing's true of Joe Pye weed, but particularly the pineapple sage and other things in that square-stemmed category, the mint family, that all of those can be cut back. But I got to tell Corinne just one more thing about this. If the plant didn't bloom green before and has just started to bloom green, you could be having a problem that leaf hoppers will bring, which is called aster yellows. So if that could be it. But there are, I just wanted to give you these names because there are green flowered cone flowers that are very prized and very popular. Green Twister, Green Jewel, they're fully green, fragrant flowers that stay green as they age. And another one called Sunseeker's Apple Green. These are dark in the middle and apple green on the outside. So there are green cone flowers, is the point. You've got a phone call.
We do. We have Greg in Hancock, and he wants to ask a tomato question.
Oh, good. Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. I've got tomatoes I planted, and they're turning yellow, you know, yellow, orange, before they're getting any size to them. What's causing that?
Are you saying that they're trying to ripen before they've gotten to be?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, the good news is that they are trying to ripen. because if they didn't, they might just fall off, you know, if they couldn't continue to grow anymore. But what variety were they? Do you know, or are they?
I've got six Creole tomatoes and two beefsteak. Now, the beefsteaks are getting, you know, they're getting some size to them. But my Creoles, I'm getting a few here and there that's got a little size to them, but the majority of them are, you know, a little smaller than what I think they should be.
Well, I'm going to say that there's more tomatoes than that particular plant can ripen all the way up, and that's why they went ahead to start ripening. And the way that you would, if you take off the ones that are big enough to let ripen on the counter, take off a few of the others may be able to continue to grow bigger. But it's really a matter of balance, that's all. I'm just glad you got tomatoes.
Well, I'm growing them in 5-gallon buckets because every time I put them in the ground, they get big and beautiful, but they'll start dying because of nematodes, I think.
It could be if you're planting them in the same place 2 years in a row, that's certainly a problem that can happen. 5-gallon buckets are real good, but they are a limited root zone. So that might also explain why the fruit are slightly smaller. So I would go with that. That even reinforces my suggestion to you. Take off what you can ripen indoors and what you can eat today. Let's all have BLTs for lunch. But, you know, let the rest of them stay on there and see if they can't grow a little bit more. I think you've just got too much competition. You did too well at setting fruit, and congratulations on that.
Yeah, they are loaded with tomatoes. And the plants, they're about five or so foot tall, beautiful plants.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I think you got to give the others a chance to catch up. So go ahead and pick everything you can, and let me know in a couple of weeks how they're doing.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's good to hear from everybody today. Sometimes stuff, you know, I'm fascinated by amber. I love that particular stuff. When stuff is in it and you don't know that it's in there, and then eventually you look around and you realize that there's a fossil or there's a bug or there's that. And people that have discovered these things over time, of course, have had much, there's endless amounts of discussion and writing and carrying on about them. But one person who collected amber was Goethe. He is the person who is, Wolfgang Goethe is considered to have been the greatest German writer in terms of both prolific as well as profound, okay? And he had an amber collection, which they're now finally looking at after looking at everything else of his. But there are hidden fossil instincts there are fossils of insects that are extinct in these ambers, and they've never actually had such a great look at this particular critter. So I think this is really interesting. They built big nests, this particular thing. There's just so much stuff that they can find. Once they find something that they can do 3D imaging on and do some computer modeling and, yes, put AI to work and figure out what it's like and, you know, do all those things. But that, to me, is so interesting. And you think to yourself, well, how did somebody decide to start collecting amber that would be enough of a collection, in part because he was such a famous person even in his own lifetime, but also he's one of those people that has been well quoted all of his life. Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. That's so German. It's just beautiful. Without haste, but without rest. I mean, these are great things, you know, this kind of gardener stuff, really. What's never started today is never finished tomorrow. You know, he had some great ones, but I'm just glad he collected amber, so now we could find all these things out. He's born in 1749, which tells you how old his collection of amber is.
And apparently amber was irresistible at the time it was being
still
formed.
Is.
You know,
still
when the bugs were landing on it, or they were looking at that beautiful liquid going, oh, that looks delicious.
That looks cozy, and then bang.
And then boom, you're done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In a rock now for the rest of the eternity.
But preserved.
Yeah, perfectly preserved.
Nothing else got to eat you.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way to be entombed if you got to go.
Exactly. If you're going to have if you're going to have that issue, then we really are very happy that there are so many opportunities for people to collect it. You know, I have several pieces that I've collected over the years, and I'm just a big fan of it. I love the name amber. I mean, it all works for me.
I love the Jurassic Park thing, too, you know, where they drill into the amber and get the remnant of the dinosaur off of the mosquito that bit it millions of years ago.
It is a wonderful conceit.
Isn't it? I mean, it's neat.
We have to explain how these things
work. Got to worry about AI creating dinosaurs now, maybe.
That's
but, you know.
That's right. We have to figure this out. Today is National Weed Your Garden Day, but in our world, if it's a decent day, there's going to be a weed to pull, so I don't have any problem saying that. It's also International Knit in Public Day. Now, this gives you a lot less trouble than International Breastfeeding Day in Public. You know, those we've had other days in public, but I guess there is a certain amount of criticism that still comes to people who knit and crochet. I don't know. I see people doing it, but not often, not much. And I want to see if we can combine the naked bicycle riding with the knitting in public.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
Don't you think that would be fun, though? That would be a good one.
Yeah, you got to knit while riding the bicycle naked.
Exactly. Yeah. The axe throwing day can be combined with kitchen klutz day, which is today.
If you've got an axe laying around the kitchen, something's wrong.
We're in trouble.
Or either you live out in the woods and you're doing a lot of natural.
I'm not in my present home if there's an axe in the kitchen. Anyway. So
where'd that chicken go? Well, just grab the axe.
I love the idea that everybody's tomatoes are making such good tomatoes this year. You know, some years I get to sit here and hear about all the problems. And yes, blight is a problem. There's some insect issues. Obviously, beetles eating your stems and that kind of stuff is not a good thing. But I'm going to go ahead and give you the next thing to look for, because as we get closer to the middle of July, of course, the nights are so hot, the tomatoes may just be trying to ripen. They're not likely going to be able to try and set fruit. Unfortunately, that's also when the stink bugs present in greater numbers than at other times of the season. So if your tomatoes are finished, you may want to go ahead and get them out, get ready for the next crop, you know, whatever's going to go in that soil or wherever you're going to plant tomatoes somewhere else. Those are all things that work together, because the stink bugs can be a mess. And if you let them stay on your plants, they will spread to other plants, but they'll also multiply themselves, and then you'll have that problem in that area of your garden in the coming years. They're pretty tough, and I don't want that to be the thing that happens to you. There are a couple of other interesting observations this weekend, but I'm thinking that Weed Your Garden Day is one that we should turn into Weed Someone Else's Garden Day. go volunteer at the church. Go volunteer at, you know, your neighbor's house. Ask if they need some weeds pulled and give them some help if you don't happen to have any to pull of your own. My 25-year-old Abelia doesn't get a lot of sun and is tall and leggy. How much and where can it be pruned to make it fill out? Well, that's a good question, because Abelias are, that's the only thing that happens to them, is if they don't get enough sun and they don't get enough water, they don't get enough fertilizer, they will get thin looking. The best time to prune them is much like pruning any other little thin stem thing, like spireas, we think about that. We also prune all of those things right at the beginning of the spring or the end of the winter, so that they have all season to put on their new growth. But if it's looking leggy now, you've still got months of growing time. So I'm going to say go ahead and do a little bit of pruning. Don't cut it down to the ground, but go ahead and cut off some things and see if we can't stimulate some new growth to help it be a little bit more compact. When we talk about doing that kind of pruning, if you're trying to get that hedge to grow and all it had was leaves at the top, so you came in and cut it down a little bit, now it's got some more leaves, this is the time when you can go ahead and cut it back just a little bit to stimulate even more growth. Each plant is constructed of a stem, and on that stem are growing nodes. You may not be able to see them, or they may be real obvious. It depends on the plant and the time of its life and the time of year. But give yourself the opportunity to take a look at them and see how they're doing, because if you can see where the nodes are that are going to indicate new growth, you can prune right above that. Okay, that's why sometimes when you prune and you don't know where they're going to come out, where the new leaves will be, you end up having dead stem and leaves coming out underneath it, which you can go back later and just clip off. That's easy. But that's how you tell the difference, is where there's a node and where there isn't a node. So those are both really good things. Is that, that's a flowering cactus, I'll be darned.
Oh, I mean, get it back over there. I was.
That's really lovely.
That's a bunch, too.
Mm-hmm. The flowers, though, look like Sansevierias. I don't know. I can't tell what else is in that bed. But anyway, I like paddle cactus, as they're called. That's one of the names, of course, because we call things by the name that somebody else described for us. We can tell you about, you know, mammillaria. We can tell you about native cactus. We can do all that. But somebody's going to call it paddle cactus, and that's fine, too.
I think I ate some of those down in Mexico. They
I'm sure
cooked
you did.
Them like green beans.
Nopales. Yeah,
it's good
I'm
stuff.
I'm sure you did. No, nopales is always one of those ingredients that no one's quite sure what to do with. It's like when someone gives you fish and they have lots of tiny bones in them. You hope you're good enough
to get all the spines out. Yeah, I had some of that, too, down there. Yeah. Same place.
You hope you're good enough to get all the spines out. And when you do, it's a very successful meal, that's for sure. We had some trout the folks across the street brought, and it was just wonderful. But they were doing speckles the other weekend.
Oh, nice. That's good stuff there.
That was real good. It was delicious. So it's just something, you have to just take advantage of things when they come to you. The other thing about abelias, by the way, if like me, you're planting smaller shrubs, they don't all get huge. Francis Mason has a lot of yellow in it, which I'm learning to embrace, just like variegated euonymus. I'm learning to embrace it. It just has to be something else that you learn at every stage of life. And for me, it turns out, just trying to fit love yellow plants. They're supposed to be yellow. I still haven't gone for the ligustrum yet, y'all. So, anyway. Oh, my. Yes, it is. We're going to step away for just a moment. Let Ringo take care of business. We'll be back.
Planning a home improvement project? Don't let your dream renovation become a nightmare. Before you hire any contractor, remember these three essential steps. Ask to see their current state license, check their insurance coverage, and always get at least three written estimates. Visit msboc.us to verify credentials and review complaints. Your home deserves a licensed professional, because when it comes to construction, cutting corners could cost you everything. Call the Mississippi State Board of Contractors or go to msboc.us to learn more. A message from the Mississippi State Board of Contractors.
Here's Sammy the Shovel here to tell you to call before you dig.
A lot of homeowners are working hard to create a loving home. Whether it's expanding that crowded deck, maybe a swimming pool, good times start with these additions. And that's why we respectfully ask you to first call 811 and have your utilities properly marked before you dig. It saves you from injury and expense. It's the law, and it's just the right thing to do. So call 811 before you dig. Remember us for your next project. Just call 811.
Helps out.
I love that part.
I'm going to let y'all into a little inside baseball, as we say, except it's not baseball, it's radio. When talk radio began, there was really nothing except voices, and there was no way to tell the difference between the program and the commercial unless the person said, now I'm going to tell you about this or that or the other thing. If they just stuck it in there, they just stuck it in there. So in order to put the commercials and make things sellable so that you could actually please your advertiser by saying your ad will be on at 9:30, at 10:30, whatever it is. That's how these things work. You understand? You and I are here because we have people that support our broadcast. So when they invented talk radio, it became of where to put it. You put them all at the end? Well, no, you're not going to do that. So we make segments, and we have a clock that divides our hour, each hour, into so many segments. This is the inside radio part. How are you going to get from there to there? Okay? You can't just say, we'll take a break, and then bang, goes to the commercial. Because we have a certain level of discretion, and we want to be able to talk to you for as long as possible, we ended up with break music, or what are called bumpers, the bumper music. It has to be less than so many seconds, because that's what you can play with before you have to give a royalty stuff and all of those issues that come along with that. But it all made a lot of sense because it gave us as professional people with talent the opportunity to pick some music. When that song that you heard that I'm still talking about now, of course, was the first one that I ever became aware of that was chosen as a bumper because you used it at the end of the hour, and it was called Time is Tight, and that means that that's the end. Time is tight. We got to hurry up. Got to get out of here. And in fact, that's Booker T and the MGs, and that's the tune. So there's a lot of humor in bumper music, and there's a lot of bits and pieces of fun stuff for you to pick up on when you listen to shows, and I'm so thankful that you do. Radio has the opportunity to do so many things, and one of the things that it does better than just about any other art form, I believe, is to combine voices and music and time and space so that we're in a different place when we get in the show together. We have that community that we talk about, that sodality, and we also have the opportunity to hear things that we wouldn't hear anyplace else. When I first got my very first show, my producer said, okay, you're going to need to bring in some bumper music, and it's all got to be instrumental. Well, you know me, I didn't want it to all be instrumental, so that was the first fight that I had with that producer. And the good news is that I gave in a little bit, and he gave in a little bit, and so I was able to use some things with lyrics. But I'm going to tell you right now that my attempt to get someone to sing Autumn Leaves because it would be appropriate in the fall never did work. There's some of the worst versions of that. They don't work as music bumpers. They don't have a beginning and a middle, and they don't have that brief piece of powerful music that gets your attention and makes you say, oh, that's got to be Garden Mama's music. Let me listen to that. I'll tell you what else doesn't have it. Watermelon Man. Love those songs, but they don't make good bumpers. So that's just a little bit of indoor, a little bit of inside baseball or inside radio for you that tells you that we do, in fact, worry about this stuff. We pay attention and we keep doing it. I try to learn something new every day, and I appreciated your comments when I said last week that I went to school to learn to learn, and I appreciate that this correspondent picked up on that and liked it. There are a lot of reasons why we do everything, and I think in part why more and more people garden every year, because first of all, just like we found out during the pandemic, there's a whole lot of interest right here in your backyard. You know, you can do this or that. And we all want to make an improvement. We all want to change things. But you can start by changing things right there in your windowsill or in your backyard or even in your front yard, unless your homeowners association won't let you.
Get on the homeowners association. Well, and then you can just take it over.
I was going to say, the bad thing is that if you don't want to get on the association, don't complain too much,
exactly,
or they'll elect you. You'll have to go fight with everybody. And sometimes that's wonderful. You know, sometimes that's just the perfect thing, as you were just trying to get in there anyway. Janice from New Albany has 6 planters on the porch, but one keeps getting yellow mushroom-like fungus. I know exactly. It's been everywhere this year. What can I do to get rid of it? Lime, powdered lime, garden lime, dolomitic lime, not dogyard lime, not hydrated lime, because that's going to mess with your soil. But scrape that stuff out of there and let the area dry out. But to help it dry out, and also just, you know, maybe a little deeper mulch after you get through and get it dried out. But go ahead and put that lime in there, and that will slow down the growth of the fungus. Isn't that funny how that works, though? When you have 6 of the same thing, one of them is always different. That's just it might be the sunnier end, it might be the shadier end of the porch. It might be when you were planting, this one got a little bit more of one thing than the other. I mean, there's just all sorts of reasons why that can happen. I did not know this, and I've just got to hold on to it this morning because it's, you know, I try not to get into too much sports without bringing you something that I have played, but I don't think I've played softball but about twice in my life. This was somebody that threw a boxing glove and the other person hit it with a stick, and so that's where we got mushball.
Hmm.
That's the big softball. They still play it, but you play it basically, it looks more like a cricket bat, you know, that you're smacking this thing
big
with.
Big paddle.
Yeah, and so that did in fact happen, but it was an indoor sport, and I didn't know that. I just, there's so many things I don't know. But after a while, it got to be outside, and then eventually a Denver YMCA official named it softball in 1926. And that's when we had to get down. Can you imagine being the first person that went to them in Chicago and said, okay, now, instead of this mushball that y'all been playing for 40 years now, we want you to play softball. We're going to make it national standard size bases and balls and club, you know, bats and all this stuff. I'm sure that was not a popular deal because it took from 1933 for several years, but the first national tournament was hosted at the Chicago World's Fair. And I just can't imagine. I mean, I know now we've gone down to balls. They're still bigger than hardball, but it's not a 16-inch mushball. Which, now that I realize I've seen that game, it always looks to me like your ball just got deflated, you know. And so you had to kick it around with the cricket bat. But anyway, that's a huge sport now.
Yeah, they just created a pro version of that.
That's
now.
Right.
There's a whole league. Because it kind of reminds me of the story you were just telling, though. Is if you watch the movie Leatherheads with George Clooney and John Krasinski and many other great actors, kind of goes through the comedically the creation of football as a, you know, as far as from a professional sport, as it was much that in college already, but
yes,
the way they were playing it,
yes,
in the pros is like cow fields and dudes were, mm-hmm, you know, we were drinking pots of coffee on the on the bench over
it's
there.
A funny movie.
Yeah, it's great, but that kind of reminds me, you know, the kicking and screaming of how do we modernize?
How do we work this out? How do we decide? Think if they decided tomorrow, somebody said, well, we're going to make the volleyball 2 inches smaller. You know, or two, I mean, and we're going to make this the standard so that by the next Olympics, this is what we have. There's so many things to change. Tomatoes, good calls today, y'all. Thanks for all of that. We'll be back next week with more Garden Mama Show. Thank you.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of Super Talk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Hi, I'm Jake Mangum. The great thing about baseball is you've always got another chance at bat. Like how if you've been with Mississippi Farm Bureau Insurance before, you've still got a chance to save. When former customers of Farm Bureau Insurance return within 2 years, they can keep enjoying their longevity discounts. That's just Farm Bureau's way of saying, welcome back to the family. So if you're looking to save on auto insurance, look for Farm Bureau. Visit MSFBINS.com to find great new rates on auto insurance or call a local agent. Go with Farm Bureau and go with the home team.
State Treasurer David McRae has returned more unclaimed money and delivered more college and career savings to Mississippians than ever before. He's done it by making the state's education savings programs more flexible, benefiting students and teachers at virtually all schools, private or public, vocational or technical. He's making college and career savings and getting unclaimed money easier than ever. Don't let another day go by without claiming your cash or jumpstarting a career. Treasury.ms.gov.
Nowadays, a Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.